On May the 11th at 8:30 a.m., she arrived at Greenman Elementary School. She told them that they had a family emergency and that she'd be gone for a couple days. I tried her cell phone 15, 20 times, didn't know where she was or what had gone on. Then I got to the point of, I don't care where you're at or what you're doing. Just call and say you're fine.
I know that this woman was so disturbed and in such serious need of some type of help. Somebody that loved her needed to intercede, and it didn't happen.
Friday afternoon, I get a phone call from my brother saying that Amy had contacted him, and that Amy said that she'd do with Timothy what she wanted because Timothy belonged to her.
6-year-old Timothy Pitson was last seen at the Wisconsin Dells with his 43-year-old mother, Amy.
She may have had some friends, acquaintances, family in those different areas.
The two apparently visited Brookfield Zoo on Wednesday and then checked into Key Lime Cove Resort in Gurnee.
We just believe with every fiber of our being that he's alive. So without any kind of logic to give you, I can just tell you, I know that he's alive. Amy would never hurt her child, and I know that she just wouldn't have. She had nothing but kindness and consideration for other people in her life.
Amy had a history of depression, and her marriage was apparently on the rocks, but no one could have predicted what happened. Investigators say Amy and Timothy traveled more than 500 miles over 2 days and were captured together on surveillance video several times. More than 100 miles away in Rockford, Illinois, a motel worker finds Amy's body. Investigators say she had slashed her wrists and neck. Amy was 43 years old.
I remember the day I found out that Amy died. My poor girls were there. And I didn't know how to tell them. How do you tell them? Your aunt killed herself. And we don't know where Timothy is. Your little cousin, he's only 6. We don't know if he's okay. We don't know where he is.
According to investigators, Amy left behind a note saying Timothy was safe. He was with someone who loved him. And he would never be found.
Hey, welcome to True Crime Brewery and this special Saturday episode. I'm Jill.
And I'm Dick. Happy Saturday, everybody. Hope your weekend's going well.
It's a beautiful weekend up here in the New England area.
It certainly is. There's a feel of fall in the air.
That's true. I like that, though.
Yeah.
Yeah. So tonight's episode is Away From Home, Where is Timothy Pitson? So that's what we're going to talk about. He's been missing since 2011.
A while.
Yeah, a while now, so.
With no trace.
With no trace, that's right. So, a little introduction to the case, how about, before we do the beer review?
That'd be great.
Okay. So, today's case, it is one of the saddest types for me. The case of a missing child. Young Timothy Pitson, he's been missing since May 11th, 2011. He was 6 years old at the time, 4 feet 2 inches tall, and 70 pounds. And this is an unusual and especially upsetting situation because Timothy's mom took him on a last-minute road trip and then she killed herself. She left notes to a few close family members and friends explaining herself, and we'll address that in our discussion, but his whereabouts are still completely unknown. So let's do a couple 5-star reviews and then the beer review before we get started.
Let's do it.
Okay. Okay, so the first 5-star review is Look Forward to Wednesdays. By Megan KH.
So we're faking you out, Megan. It's a Saturday.
That's right. I love this podcast. Jill and Dick even pick cases I think I know all about, but I always learn something new from their research. They're very entertaining, and Jill balances out Dick's dry humor with her adorable little jokes. It's a must listen.
That's really nice.
It is. So welcome to the brewery. Megan KH. I don't know if I probably messed that up, but that's how I read it.
I'm just going to call her Megan.
Yeah, okay. And then the next one is one of my favorites by Bluebird J. Each week I can barely wait for the new episode. I appreciate Jill and Dick's overview of the cases, explanation of the details, and their calm, rational discussion. Even if it's a well-known case, I really enjoy their take on it. Please keep up the good work.
Well, thank you for that nice review.
Yes, thank you, Bluebird J. And Bluebird J, welcome to the brewery.
Welcome.
Okay, what have we got for a beer?
I took some liberties with this week's beer. because the family lives in Illinois. But the last case we did was an Illinois case, the Drew Peterson case, and I did an Illinois beer for that. And I'd also done another Illinois beer earlier. So what I decided to do, since it's my beer review and I get to do what I want.
That's right.
Is since the last place the boy was seen was in Wisconsin, I'm going to do a Wisconsin beer.
That seems legitimate. I think that's okay.
Well, I hope so. So what I chose was a beer called Piper's Scotch Style Ale. It's brewed by Sprecher Brewing Company out of Glendale, Wisconsin.
Okay.
There happens to be a Sprecher bar in Wisconsin Dells where the boy was last seen. So maybe there is some connection there. Anyway.
That's interesting. All right.
Scotch ales are strong ales. They are also known as wee heavy, W-E-E. And I think that the wee heavy is to signify a little less alcohol than the traditional Scotch ale. So there's the Scotch ale and then there's the wee heavy, which is a little bit less alcoholic.
Really?
It's a wee heavy.
See, I would interpret that as the wee heavy is the heavier one.
No, it's wee.
Okay.
It's small.
Yeah, I know, but okay.
So these are, as I said, fairly strong beers. They go through a longer boil in the kettle, which results in more caramelization of the malts. This produces a deep copper to brown color. They tend to be sweet and full-bodied, tend to be higher in alcohol, with a more pronounced caramel and roasted malt flavor. They are best served in a thistle glass. So for those of you who don't know what a thistle glass is.
And I'm one of those.
Thistle glass is a kind of a modified version of a tulip.
Okay.
Which you know what that looks like.
Which a tulip is kind of like a snifter, but it curves out on the top like a tulip.
It flares outward like a tulip.
Right.
So a thistle is a glass with a stem. And then there tends to be a bulbous area, a rounded area, and then the sides flare outward.
Okay.
So the Scotch ales are traditionally drunk in a thistle glass.
Okay. And that differs from a tulip because it has this rounder bowl area of it.
It's more bulbous.
Okay.
Bowlier looking. Yeah, I like bowl.
Gotcha.
Okay. So let's go with Piper's Scotch Style Ale. It's a dark copper color. Very small tan head, leaves just a thin film of foam. It has a nice caramel aroma and a hint of smoke. I know we've talked about smoke in the beers before.
We have. Not my favorite thing.
This is just a hint.
Okay.
And the taste followed the nose pretty exactly. A lot of caramel, maybe some toffee, and just a very faint hint of smoke.
Okay.
This particular Scotch ale is, to me, a little more medium-bodied and not as heavy-bodied as the typical Scotch ales that I've had to drink. So,
wee-bodied.
Exactly. That was very good.
I'm catching
on. So it's still a pretty good beer, so okay. We should try it. But we're going to drink it out of a thistle.
Okay. I hope you brought two thistles.
I did.
Awesome.
You know, Jilly, one thing we didn't think about when we decided to do this Saturday crime story.
Yeah, what's that?
Well, the bar tends to be a lot more crowded on weekends than weeknights.
Oh, shit, and noisy.
Yeah, it's pretty packed.
Fuck.
But I think I see a couple seats down at the other end.
Yeah.
And there's not quite as many people. All the action's down here where the TV is and everything. So why don't we slide on down there, and maybe we'll be able to do this without too many people jostling us.
I think if we go way around the corner where it's dark.
Way around the corner.
Way down to the quiet end.
Well, relatively quiet.
Yeah. Away from the crowds anyway, right?
A little bit.
Okay.
Fewer people anyway.
All right, let's go.
Okay.
Bring those, what do you call those glasses?
I'll bring the thistles.
Bring the thistles.
You bring the beer.
Let's
go do this.
Okie doke. Now, Timothy Pitson, everyone says he was a very sweet boy. According to his grandmother and aunt, he was very funny, energetic, and he really liked superheroes. Spider-Man was his favorite. He's also tall for his age. He's kind of lanky, with a broad and confident smile. He liked to be called Timmy, or just Tim. And back in 2011, he lived with his parents, James Pitson and Amy Fry Pitson, in Aurora, Illinois. And he loved to eat Chuck E. Cheese's and Go-Gurts, and he loved to play with his Matchbox cars.
Sounds like a typical six-year-old boy.
Yeah, sounds like a fun kid.
A big kid. You mentioned he was tall, but you said he was 4'2", but he's 70 pounds. I mean, this is a good-sized six-year-old.
Yeah, I thought so. But he doesn't look overweight. He's just big.
No, I mean, we saw his father in some interviews. He's a big guy.
Yeah. Yep. Sturdy.
Yes.
Yeah. So Amy, she went and excused Timothy from his kindergarten class at Greenman Elementary School around 8:35 a.m. on May 11th, 2011. And after that, she drove to an auto repair shop to get some work done on her car. She dropped off her blue 2004 Ford Expedition, and that was around 10 a.m. A repair shop employee drove Amy and Timothy to the Brookfield Zoo then, so they had something to do while they worked on the car. And then at 3 p.m., she picked up her SUV. We don't know how she got back to the auto shop, but I don't think it's very significant.
No, probably not.
Probably not. And she drove to Key Lime Cove Resort in Gurnee, Illinois. And that's where they spent the night that night.
Yeah. Now, she picked him up at school, and she said there was some family emergency or something, right?
Yeah, that's what she told the people at the school. Yeah.
But, whatever excuse. I mean, it's a mother picking up a child, so they're not going to think too much of that.
No, if she wanted to pick him up for the hell of it, she could.
Right.
Yeah. Now, in the meantime, James, the father, he reported his wife and son missing after he went to pick up Timothy from kindergarten, and he found out that Amy had taken him that morning and said there was a family emergency, which, of course, there wasn't. And he also called Amy's cell phone numerous times, but he didn't get any answer there either.
She wasn't picking up.
No, she wasn't answering.
In fact, she had it turned off.
Yes, she did, which we think she did so she couldn't be tracked with GPS.
Right.
Yeah.
See, I think she's been watching crime shows or something.
Yeah, maybe. She might have, or she might have researched things like that, because a lot of people think she was planning this.
Oh, there's no doubt in my mind that she was planning this.
Okay, well, we'll talk about that. There are some things that point otherwise and point to planning it, so.
Okay.
Yeah. But on May the 12th, the next day, Amy drove Timothy to the Kalahari Resort in Wisconsin Dells, Wisconsin.
Yeah, it's a couple hundred miles from where they were.
Quite a ways, yeah.
Yeah.
And a security camera at the resort showed Amy and Timothy checking out the next morning at 10 a.m. At 1:30 p.m. that day, Amy turned on her phone and made some calls to family members and told them that she and Timothy were fine. And the family members heard Timothy in the background, and he sounded normal. He just said that he was hungry, which that's a normal thing for a kid to say.
Sure.
But this was the last time anyone is known to have seen or heard from Timothy.
And where were they when they were calling?
They were at the Kalahari Resort.
Okay.
Yeah. Well, they had checked out of there, so I think it was at the same time they were in that area.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know if they were in the resort at that time, but they were in the general area. And she just told them that she was fine. She didn't really give any indication of what was going on in her mind. Not at all.
Right. So where did they travel next? Or one or both of them? They headed south.
Yeah, at this point, they turned around and headed south.
They or she?
She. Well, Timothy was with her at 1:30.
So we're here. I mean, people claim that they heard him in the background. And I guess somebody also claimed that she spoke with him.
Right, right.
But anyway, so they were back in Illinois.
Yep.
The two of them.
That's right. Or just her.
Or one of them.
That's true, because you're right. The last time he was seen is in Wisconsin. That's true. So you're right about that.
Yes.
It was possibly just her.
It gets confusing.
It does. And another thing is she may have left him somewhere on the way.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, she was seen at a Family Dollar store in Winnebago, Illinois at 7:25 p.m. on the 13th.
Okay.
So that's 6 hours after she called and said everything was okay.
That's right.
So that could have been still up in Wisconsin. Who knows?
Yeah, I think that call was made from Wisconsin.
So in the Family Dollar store, she purchased some stationery, and security cameras show that she was alone. And then she was at Sullivan's Foods at 8 o'clock, and that's kind of right next door to the dollar store.
Yeah, a little grocery store.
And then she checked into the Rockford Inn in Rockford, Illinois, between 11:15 and 11:30.
Yes,
So then sometime that night or early the next morning, she took her own life by slashing her wrists and neck. She had also taken an overdose of antihistamines. So this was no gesture. This was the real thing.
Yeah, it doesn't seem like a cry for help.
No.
No.
And the Rockford Inn's employees found her body at 12:30 p.m. or noonish, somewhere around there, on the 14th.
That's right. So, yeah, it is a little confusing, but the call was made while they were in Wisconsin, and that's when the family heard his voice. So the next thing that we know is that she's back in Illinois, and she's by herself.
So in 6 hours...
Something happened to Timothy.
Something happened to him.
Right.
If we're positive that that was his voice that people heard.
They were positive.
Okay.
And I think they would know. I mean, it was the grandmother and somebody else.
So, and she headed south and was out in somewhere in northwest Illinois, somewhere out in the boonies, I guess.
Yeah, she had gone through some rural areas.
And then she kind of backtracked and headed back east into Rockford.
Yep.
Kind of towards home.
Yeah.
So it was like a giant circle.
Kind of.
Or
a
giant
oval.
Rectangle. Oval.
Yeah.
Something.
Something like that. Yeah. So it's disturbing to see her alone. When I see the video footage of her walking into the dollar store alone, it's kind of creepy because I'm thinking, what's going on in her head? What's happened?
Right. Because you've seen other videos when they were at the water park first and then at the Kalahari Resort.
Right.
When they're checking in or checking out or both, you can see the two of them together.
Yes.
And now suddenly she's by herself.
Yeah, and he's sick, so he's going to stay by your side if he's with you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So something happened.
Something happened to him at that point. And she bought stationery. So she left a note, plus she mailed two letters, one to her mother, one to a friend. And these stated that Timothy was fine and with people who loved him. She did not name who these people were, and one of her notes said that no one would ever find him. So that is very scary, creepy.
That's really scary. And then you wonder, what about Dad? Why wasn't she going to, if she's planning on taking her own life, why doesn't she make sure that Timothy's father gets him?
Yeah, that's what I don't know. I mean, obviously she wasn't happy with him, but he didn't seem to think that things were that bad.
No, I know they were having some marital difficulties.
Right, yeah.
And that she had a pretty bad track record in terms of marriage.
Yeah, Amy was married 4 times. So that's a lot for a young woman.
For a 40-year-old?
For anybody, really. Yeah. But she was married 4 times, and according to her mother, after the first marriage, that's when she started getting really signs of depression.
Yeah.
Yeah. And when she was dating James, she did have an attempted suicide where she was hospitalized in 2003. And what she had done is she had taken an overdose of some kind of over-the-counter pills, but enough to kill her, and went and she said she was sleeping on a cliff and fell off.
Right.
But they think she probably jumped or whatever.
Yeah. And
so
the pictures are so, it wasn't exactly a cliff. I mean, it was,
well, a
drop.
A drop, yeah. Yeah, maybe not the kind of cliff that would kill you.
Right.
Yeah.
But she was tanked up on some medication.
That's right. So she did have kind of a history.
Yes.
And it's funny because she did the similar thing when she did kill herself. She did the drugs and harmed herself.
Right.
So it seems like she really was committed to doing it.
Yeah, this time.
Yeah.
And not just slashing her wrist, but she slashed her neck too. So
yeah,
she's going for some vital blood vessels.
Yeah. And some of the literature I've read on psychology has said that that could be a way for her to be punishing herself. If she had killed Timothy, maybe the fact that she cut her throat as well as her wrists was a form of self-punishment. She may have had self-loathing. Self-loathing.
Okay. I'm not going to pretend to be a psychiatrist and try to interpret that.
Right.
But I do think that she killed the child.
Do you now?
We'll talk about that down the road.
Okay. So her cell phone was missing, and other items that were missing were Timothy's Spider-Man backpack, his toys, and his clothes. Now, she had stopped and bought him new toys and clothing. on the trip.
Yeah, on their journeys.
That's one of the things that made me think she didn't plan because she didn't bring things along. But also what was missing were the clothes that Amy was wearing the prior day when she checked out of the resort, a tube of the kids' Crest toothpaste that she purchased, and her iPass transponder for the tolls. Now, what do you think? I thought with the transponder, maybe she thought that could track her.
Yeah, I would think so. If she was careful enough to turn her phone off so that that wouldn't ping off of towers, she might do something with the transponder.
Right. But don't phones still, can't you still trace them even if they're not on? I'm confused how that works. Do you know?
I don't know. I think if they're off, truly turned off, I mean, not just off, but powered off, you're not going to get anything.
Okay. I'm not sure about that, but you might be
right.
I mean,
if I turn my phone off, it's not totally off.
Right.
If I take the internet.
You mean shut it down?
Shut it down and power off.
Yeah.
Then I don't think anything's going to happen with it.
Okay. Well, then I don't know why a lot of these criminals leave their phones on. Because it seems like the phone pings are a big thing that get a lot of people caught and figured out.
Yeah, it seems most everything we watch these days, they can track them quite easily.
That's right. So authorities believe that Amy had given Timothy to other people to care for, in part because his car seat was missing. And as time went by, the police started to become more concerned for his safety. Now, the car seat did end up being at the grandmother's house. So that's not really true that the car seat was missing.
No.
No. But the family did think that Amy wouldn't have killed him. But the note was kind of haunting, made me think that she did.
That's one thing.
Yeah. What else?
And they found blood.
Yeah, they found...
in the back seat.
They found a significant amount of Timothy's blood in the back seat of her car.
Right.
Right? But they couldn't determine how long the blood stains had been there.
No. And the family said, well, he's prone to nosebleeds, and that's what caused it.
Yeah, they said that he had actually had a nosebleed that they knew of in the car. So I don't know.
But
it's possible, I guess.
When I think of that, I mean, here's some considerable amount of blood in the back seat, and I'm maybe reading too much into this, but they can't find the clothes she was wearing the previous day, and that's because they had blood, Timothy's blood on them, so she disposed of them.
Yeah, and his clothing, too.
And his clothing, too.
And I think that she... Well, let's just go down this road that she killed him. It's a bad road, but let's go down there for a minute and just discuss.
Okay.
So if she did kill him, then she probably would have gotten rid of the toys and maybe even bought the toothpaste and stuff on purpose to make it look like she was giving him away instead of killing him.
That would be reasonable, right? She was buying some things for him. The other thing would be, you know, she wanted him to be in a new outfit.
Ew.
I know, it's kind of icky.
Yeah, it's creepy. I don't know exactly what she bought.
Right. You don't, just that she bought some articles of clothing.
But if she had killed him, I could see that. Also, we didn't mention found in the hotel was an empty bottle of children's Triaminic cough and cold medicine.
Right. And that concern, that has an antihistamine in it.
Right.
So that could be something used to either sedate him or even to overdose him and kill him.
Yeah.
I don't think a single bottle.
But if you're going to overdose him, why wouldn't you give him adult stuff?
Yeah.
Unless maybe it tasted better and he would drink it.
Certainly tastes better.
Well, he's more willing to drink the children's than more than the adults, maybe, because it tastes better.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's all I'm thinking about that.
So, and the other thing that made me think that she harmed him, that the note where she's talking about he's with people that are going to take good care of him.
Yeah, it almost sounds like he's in a better place now.
Right.
He's eerie, yeah. It is kind of eerie.
That's what makes me worried.
I don't know what her religious beliefs were, but there was really no Jesus talk in the note.
No.
No. But I don't know. What I read as far as statistics was that children, when they are killed, it usually is by the parents. There are 450 children a year killed by their parents.
Yes.
Now, 60% are by the father, about 40% by the mother.
Mm-hmm.
But usually the mother does it when it's a baby.
Right.
So it's like a postpartum depression thing.
The younger
under a year.
Under a year.
Yeah.
And the older kids are more likely to be killed by the father.
Right, right.
But that's still the majority of kids that go missing like that are victims of a crime.
Like murder.
Like murder.
More than just kidnapping, you mean.
Right.
Yeah.
And selling the child.
That's a possibility.
Or giving the child away is a possibility, but it's a small possibility.
Right. I agree.
So if I'm going to play the odds on this, I'd say that he was more likely murdered by his mother.
Well, especially since he hasn't been found. I would think if she gave him to some people, if they were decent people, which is who you think she would want to give them to.
People who would love him.
Yeah, you think these people would realize he has a family and give him back.
Maybe.
Maybe.
I mean, I'm thinking somebody, if I'm in the market to purchase a child, yeah. And even if I find out what the circumstances of that were, I'm still skirting the law by buying this child, so I'm not going to come clean with that.
But that necessarily makes you a not nice person.
Well, yeah.
Yeah. But she would want to give her child to a nice person, I would think. Although I guess she could be misled about that.
Depends on how she looks at being a nice person. They can be a nice appearing couple, and she feels that they'll take good care of the child.
Right.
But then I turn it around and say, anybody who's looking to get a child in that fashion.
Yeah, that's corrupt.
They're not a nice couple to begin with.
That's true.
They're not going through normal adoption. Anything
no.
else.
Well, there's one other small possibility. If she was able to convince people, there are some people that help abused women and children escape their abusive husbands. And if they were somehow convinced that she and her son were abused, and they thought they were saving him, they may have taken him.
But then wouldn't they still come forward when they found out what had happened to her?
Well, maybe, unless they think that the husband, the father, is really bad.
Well, yeah, even if they feel like the father's bad, they go to the authorities.
Well, that's what a normal person would do.
Right.
Right, but a normal person wouldn't take him.
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. Yeah.
So that's why I think it was a homicide.
Yeah. Now, the knife Amy killed herself with, it only had her blood on it. So if she'd used that to harm Timothy, she'd cleaned it up really well before she used it.
No, she couldn't have used it on both her and Timothy.
Why?
Even if she had cleaned it up really well, you'd still find traces of his blood on it.
Probably, okay.
You can't.
Well, what if you scrubbed it with bleach or something?
No.
No?
No.
They could still luminol it.
Well, no, they could still find traces of his DNA on there.
Really? So you're saying it's impossible to clean it?
It's impossible to clean it enough that you can't identify some DNA from him.
What if you soaked it in a bucket of bleach for several hours?
I don't know. You're supposing too much.
Okay.
I'm just going to say that the knife that she used to slash herself wasn't the knife if he was killed, and that's what I think happened. It wasn't the murder weapon that killed Timothy.
Yeah, which isn't a big deal because you can certainly get a knife anywhere. Having two separate knives wouldn't be tough.
No.
No. So her SUV was visibly dirty. It had soil, tall grass, weeds stuck to the undercarriage when it was found after Amy's death. Forensic testing was done on the plant and sediment materials on the car, and it indicated that the SUV had stopped for a time on a gravel area just off of an asphalt road that had at one time been treated with glass road-making beads. So that kind of narrowed it down a little bit to where the car might have been.
Yeah.
Right.
But it still would indicate she took it off-road. It had all sorts of grasses and stuff on the undercarriage. So
she could have taken it off-road to meet someone in secret?
Right. Or she could have taken it off-road somewhere to dispose of the body.
And how would she do that? How would she dispose of his body? I don't think she had cement or any of that stuff that we know of.
No. She dug a grave.
Yeah.
And disposed of the shovel somewhere.
Well, yeah. Because in February and March of 2011, she had taken two unexplained trips to the area where Timothy disappeared up by Wisconsin Dells. So she might have been planning. She could have even dug a grave. God forbid, but she could have.
Could have.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that was more Northwestern Illinois and not Wisconsin Dells.
Okay.
Where she'd taken a couple trips.
So it was in between Wisconsin Dells and where she went to the hotel.
Rockford, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
But I think those trips, you could look at that as, you know, scouting the area.
Sure.
For a suitable burial place. or maybe she was meeting people that were going to adopt Timothy.
That's what her family likes to believe, and I don't blame them.
No, I'd stick with that, too.
Yeah.
Until you're absolutely sure.
But still, you know, why not just try and be positive?
I think she was severely depressed and was planning on taking her own life and was going to take her son's life because she didn't like her husband and she didn't want Timothy living with her husband when she was dead.
I don't understand that, though.
I don't either.
But I don't understand why
I think she was scouting places to dispose of his body.
Yeah. Now, they could also determine that the vehicle, it's amazing what they could determine from this stuff.
Yeah.
The vehicle had backed into a grassy meadow or a field, which contained Queen Anne's lace and black mustard plants, and it would have been virtually treeless in that area.
Okay.
Now, some oak or birch trees were in the general area, but not near the car, and there was probably a pond or a small stream nearby. There were no indications that the land was cultivated, either as a lawn, so it couldn't have been like a rural home.
Yeah.
Right?
Or a meadow, right?
It could have been a meadow.
Yeah.
But it had never been cut, right. So it wasn't like a lawn.
Yeah.
And there were no crops grown. There was no corn or soybeans.
Okay. You're right. It is amazing what they can tell.
Yeah.
Just from stuff stuck under the car.
It's impressive. But it really hasn't led them to figure anything out.
No.
No.
I mean, I guess you can say that certainly wasn't an urban area.
Right.
But there's a lot of open land in this country.
Sure. And investigators did say that the meadow was in Lee County or Whiteside County. And like you said, in northwestern Illinois. So that's where they think she stopped. So.
Yeah, but that's still too much area to cover.
It's a lot of area.
Yeah. So they're not going to be able to search effectively.
That's true. And if people met her and took him, he could be anywhere.
Who knows where he is?
I mean, like, I think he could even have gone overseas. I don't think it would be that hard to get a false passport for a small child and get him through. That's my opinion.
I guess not. I mean, if they're smart enough, I mean, they'd need a birth certificate or some fake birth certificate to get the passport.
Right.
That seems like an awful lot of planning.
There would be a lot of planning. I think it's a bit of a stretch, but I think it's possible. Because the thing about it is that Amy's sister, her mother, even her husband, who was having trouble in the marriage with her, they just don't believe that she could have hurt him. They said that she adored him. Now, on the other hand, if she loved him that much, it could have been the, you know, I'm not leaving him, he's going too with me,
right,
kind of deal.
I think you could turn that around.
That could go either way.
Yes.
Yeah.
I know that everybody said that she would never harm him.
Yes.
But she might have felt like it was the only way, the only solution.
She might have.
So.
And that might have been what the medication was for, so that he wouldn't be awake when she did whatever she did.
Yes.
Yeah. Well, James and Amy's mother and sister, like I said, that she said she would never harm Timothy, and even all of Timothy's extended family said that they just can't believe she would do that. But then, prior to the suicide, I bet they would have said she would never do that.
Right.
Right.
Yeah. Even with the prior sort of attempt.
Yes.
No one did see it coming.
Well, no. She had the suicide attempt in 2003 when she was dating James. And then in 2004, she found out she was pregnant.
Right.
And they got married then while she was pregnant.
Yes.
And then after she had Timothy, everybody said she was just so in love with that boy, and her mom thought, well, now she's happy and everything will be all right.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then they got to be marital problems and things were less all right. But nobody had any inkling that she was going to harm herself.
No. Nope. She wasn't in therapy.
Nope.
No. She had been on medications. I don't know if she was at the time.
Yeah, I thought I read somewhere that she wasn't.
That she'd gone off them.
She wasn't taking any meds.
That's never good.
Well, if you need them.
Yeah. Well, I think she did need them. So well, I don't think it's good that she would have gone off them.
I guess the proof is in the result. That.
Yeah.
But who knows?
Well, I just think there might have been a basic misunderstanding of depression among her family members, especially with James, because he said, oh, I thought that once we had Timothy and she would get off her antidepressants and get better. He didn't seem to understand that she probably needed to be on those for the rest of her life.
Well, you know, it doesn't work that way, right?
Right. This is a lifelong illness. So I just think that James really loved Amy, but he didn't seem to understand her depression or what was going on with her.
No. And you would have thought maybe she could come off meds, but it'd be great to continue with a therapist.
Yeah.
Because you need to be able to deal with the depressive symptoms.
Well, yes.
And if they were getting into marital difficulties, that's even more reason to be seeing a therapist.
Well, I guess from what I could see with the interviews with James, he really didn't see that the marriage had as many problems. It was more her seeing the problems than him.
Well, sure.
And he was of
but
the belief...
he's the one that said that everything was fine. She didn't seem depressed or anything.
Right.
So.
You know what it's like, that song with Pink? Remember
oh,
that
yeah.
song?
Yeah.
Yeah.
With the guy singing, too.
Yeah, and he says, I'm sorry, I don't understand where all of this is coming from.
Yeah.
I thought that we were fine.
Yeah.
So it's kind of the different views of the woman and the man. She's seeing that the relationship is just blowing up with huge problems. And he's saying, what's the problem?
We're
I thought
okay.
we were fine. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think that does happen.
No
Especially,
question.
Especially, you know, guys like James, he seemed kind of stoic. Kind of a guy's guy.
He seemed God. Like a guy that keeps things to himself and
yeah.
doesn't broadcast all his difficulties.
Right. So I don't think he really understood how severe it was. That's all I'm saying.
No, I agree.
Yeah. Now, all of Timothy's extended family, and this includes James, Timothy's father, too, have been very cooperative with the investigation, according to the police, and none of them are suspects in Timothy's disappearance at all. Of course, all the friends and family were talked to see if any of them were in on it. If one of her friends was hiding Timothy for her.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Or if Amy had talked to any of her friends.
About her plans.
About her plans. But
yeah.
she hadn't.
No. No. So, it just seems like she probably killed him.
Well.
I'm going to say 80% chance she killed him, 20% chance.
The odds are way more...
Maybe even...
Likely that she killed him.
Yeah.
Than that she gave him away to a couple or sold him to a couple.
Right. And you said with these kind of disappearances, what percentage of them are killed? Over 90%?
No, 80, 70 to 80.
Okay.
I think the missing children's hotline said that it's gone from 1 in 6 that were sold into whatever... to 1 in 5, so it's about 80% that would be more likely to have been murdered.
Well, if she loved him that much, I can't imagine her selling him.
I can't either. I think in her mind, loving him so much would mean that she needed to kill him.
But it wasn't a healthy kind of love then.
No.
Because a healthy love would leave him with his family.
Right.
But I don't think she was able to separate herself from him.
No.
Which makes it really even harder for me to believe that she would have given him to anybody.
I kind of discount that.
Yeah. The more I think about it and the more I read about it, the more I think that she took his life and hers.
Yes.
Although I don't know how she could have done that and then gone to the dollar store. And that's just beyond me. She obviously was out of her mind.
Right.
Right.
And she had to write, you know, her notes.
Yeah. Right.
So... I think some part of her was acting kind of rationally and going to the dollar store and the food store and tying up the loose ends. And
yeah, but it just seems to me if she was going to do that, why wouldn't she take care of all the loose ends and then kill him and her right in a row? But I can answer my own question. She wanted people to think. For some reason, it meant a lot for her what people thought even after
right.
she was gone.
She didn't want people to know that she had killed him.
That's right. So that makes me think she's a bit of a narcissist. Am I wrong?
Oh, I don't know. We throw that around a lot.
We do, but it seems very egocentric to care what people think of you.
Yeah.
And to try and to put all that effort into making it look like you gave him away to someone who loved him.
Well, to me, that's a really ambiguous note that she wrote.
Yeah, but if you'd really lost all hope, why would you go through all that? That's
right.
what I'm thinking.
You know, he's with people that really will take good care of him. And you'll never see him again.
Yeah, that's just weird.
That just tells me one thing, that he's not living anymore.
Right. Yeah, I thought maybe if she had given him to someone that she knew to take care of him, she'd say, well, on his 16th birthday, he's going to call you. I gave him this number to call you or something. I just don't want him being raised with an abusive father. Although she didn't even say he was abusive, and of course, no one thinks that he was.
No, he has no record of being abusive to either her or the child.
Right. And actually, he thought that he would never have children. When he was 19, he was diagnosed with Hodgkin's lymphoma.
Right. And he had chemotherapy and radiation therapy.
Which
is, the doctors told him he probably would be infertile.
Yes.
But.
So he was elated when she got pregnant.
Yeah.
And now the boy's gone, so it's heartbreaking.
It truly is.
Yeah. So our options are that she killed him, that she sold him to a couple to raise, like a childless couple, or another thing that I thought is like an underground protecting women and children from abuse type organization took him. She convinced them that they were abused. What else?
A sex slavery ring.
Well, would she really sell him into that?
She wouldn't have done that if she loved him that much.
Well, she could have unknowingly done that.
I suppose.
If they fooled her. But all that stuff seems pretty far-fetched, to be honest.
I have to agree.
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. So it's been 5 years, and they haven't found him, so I don't think the odds of finding him are great.
No, it was some show we watched. They said that a child who went missing resurfaced 13 years later.
So it's possible.
So.
And I'm not saying it's not possible.
I would, until they produce a body, I'd be holding out hope that he was still alive somewhere.
Yeah, I would too. But as an objective person on the outside, I can say I don't think that's likely.
I don't think that's likely.
Of course, if he was a family member of mine, I would hold out hope.
Sure.
Plus, it's not only the hope that he's alive, but they also have to deal with looking at Amy that way, like Amy's family, that they want to see Amy as someone who would have killed her child. That puts a whole other face on it.
Uh-huh.
It'd be hard to remember a family member that way.
Right.
It's easier to remember her as someone that was just sad and took him somewhere than as someone that did something so horrible.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I can see it from that side, too.
Sure.
Yeah. Now, Amy's cell phone that was missing at the time of her death was found on the roadside of Route 78 in the fall of 2013. And nothing of interest in the investigation was ever found from the phone, which makes me further believe that she didn't take him to anyone, because I would think there'd be information on the phone. Texting, email, something.
Something, right.
Communication to say, I'll meet you here, I'll meet you there. How did this all get set up?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So was the phone on one of the routes that she had traveled?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah. But it was 2 years later, over 2 years later.
Yeah. But there wasn't anything on the phone that would support the idea that she had given the child up to another person.
No. And the phone wasn't cleared either. It wasn't like she cleared everything from the phone before she threw it out.
Right.
It did have her data on it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So that makes it, you know, a little more unlikely.
It does.
In my mind. And then they did have a few sightings after they put out his story. It was on the John Walsh, what's that show called? The Hunt.
Oh,
something,
yeah.
The Hunt with John Walsh.
Right.
It was featured on there, and it was featured on something else. I don't know. There were a couple places that featured the story, and of course the local news did quite a bit. And there were some sightings, but none of them panned out to be him, of course.
No.
And the thing is that a six-year-old boy, they all look, I wouldn't say they all look alike, but a little blonde-haired boy like that.
Yeah.
We went through this with Dior. They look a lot alike. They're all cute. And
they do.
Yeah.
And you got this little fair-complected kid.
Right.
And there's a zillion of them.
Right. And his looks are going to change so dramatically over these years.
Yeah. I mean, they try to create what they could look like 5 years later, but
yeah,
who
did.
Knows? If that is a good enough likeness.
Yeah, you don't know.
No.
I think that they do base it on some science, and they do get it close, but you never know what someone's really going to look like.
No, you don't.
No. So.
But he's never been, I mean, while people have claimed to see him or think they've seen him.
Yes.
None of these have panned out.
No, they have looked at them. People have called them into the police, and they've been looked into, and turned out not to be him, turned out to be other little boys.
Right.
But I would think if someone did take him, that they would have taken him far, far away.
I wouldn't stay in the area, right?
No, I wouldn't.
No.
I don't think I'd even stay, like, in the region. I would at least go to the other side of the country. Yeah.
You'd want to get far enough away.
Yeah, I would think so. That's why.
Because a place like, we never heard here in New England, we never heard any news of this when it occurred.
That's true.
So you'd go to some region where it wasn't public notice.
Right, right. That's true. Although I still think the thing to do would be to go to Europe.
Sure.
Although.
Or Canada.
Yeah.
Or Mexico.
Right, right.
Or maybe not Mexico.
I think I'd rather go to Europe than Canada or Mexico.
Well.
Not that they're bad, but, you know, living in Europe just sounds really cool. Really.
Yeah.
Nice. Plus, they would never hear about it there.
No, they wouldn't.
No. Could go to Australia.
Sure.
Yeah.
But those are really unlikely.
They are.
Occurrences.
They are. Yeah. So what do you think her two trips there were then? You don't think that she was meeting anyone?
No, I think she was looking for a place to dispose of the body where he wouldn't be found.
Yeah, maybe even setting it up.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Well, it's a sad story, and I do hope that he's found. If you happen to have any information, if you live in the area, or even if you don't live in the area, and you've seen a boy like 5 years ago who came into someone's life, and, you know, this is my cousin, he's living with us now, or my nephew, or whatever. If you have any suspicions that it could be Timothy, go to www.crimestoppers.com and let somebody know. You can put any kind of anonymous information on there. Of course, they can track your IP address, so I don't know how anonymous it is.
Right.
Right.
So it's, I mean, you can send it unsigned, but they will know who did it.
Or you can go to a library.
Yeah.
Go to a library and do it if you're worried about. Although, who cares if you're not anonymous, if you're just telling someone where a boy is.
Right.
Right. So do it anyway. Stand up.
If you know, don't hide.
If you
know his whereabouts,
right.
Call the hotline number.
That's right.
Or email them.
IP address be damned.
Right.
Right. I agree. Okay. We did this as an extra edition today because it's kind of a short one. There's not a ton of information. And we wanted to get it done because we thought maybe we could help find him if he is out there. Because these missing children cases, they just have a special place in my heart.
They do.
Yeah.
Yeah. We would love to be able to report sometime down the road that he was found.
That would be wonderful. Found alive.
Alive, right.
Right, right. Yep. So we're still having our snifter contest. We've had quite a few reviews come in, but still, your chances of winning a snifter are about 1 in 12 right now. So those odds are so much better than, like, the Megabucks. What are your odds of winning the Megabucks?
About 1 in 175 million.
Yeah, so this is 1 in 12, so
well, got a good chance. Well, the odds might increase if we get more people writing in.
They will, but it's still pretty good odds.
But it's still better than Megabucks.
Yes.
Or Powerball, whatever the hell it is.
Right, right. And a scratch ticket.
Yeah.
Better than a scratch ticket.
Oh, yeah.
Plus, you'd get a cool snifter.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so keep those reviews coming in. We can't wait to give away the snifter in the end of September. And like I said, if you're not on iTunes, just go to our contact page on our website. Our website's tiegrabber.com. Go to the Contact Us section, and you can just write a little letter, write, I want to win the snifter, and write a little review. And you'll be entered into the contest.
All right.
All right. So, as always, we can be heard on iTunes, on Stitcher, and on Google Play. Like us on Facebook if you're kind enough. Follow us on Instagram, Tiegrabber Podcasts, or on Twitter, at Tiegrabber Pods. And anything else we should tell them?
Send beer.
Yeah. We've had a couple people contact you about that.
We have.
Yeah, if you come up with a good beer from your region, we can certainly make an effort to find a case. Or come up with a beer and a case, and maybe we'll do both. If they're good.
Sure.
If they're good enough, right?
We will.
That's right. Okay, so we'll be back on our usual day with another case. This was just a little bonus, and we will talk to you in a few days.
See you Tuesday.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.